Welcome back, adventurers, to our deep dive into the Frozen Far. Today we are unpacking Chapter 26 of Dungeons & Drans, titled Slay or Be Slayed. And yes, the title is a pun.
It's a pun that carries a lot of weight this week. We have quite a transitional chapter here, literally moving from point A to point B, but the tonal shifts were whiplash-inducing. One minute we're hearing dad jokes, the next we are dealing with human sacrifice.
Absolutely. Let's start with the travel aspect. Sandy's crew is making their way past Cara Dunnaval toward East Haven with Garrett, their sled driver. And Garrett, well, he's really the star of the first half of this session.
He is. He's essentially our lore dump guide, but in a very natural way. We learn about the political state of Cara Dunnaval, unfriendly, secretive, controlled by these Knights of the Black Sword. And then he drops some knowledge about East Haven.
The East Haven laws. Okay, we have to talk about the pickpocketing statute. Watch thy pouch. Apparently, in East Haven, pickpocketing is illegal. Or at least part of the tradition.
It's wild. The party immediately devolved into a hypothetical ethics debate on this. If stealing is legal, is stabbing the thief illegal? Garrett wasn't sure about the jurisprudence there, but it highlights just how distinct each of the 10 towns feels.
But then Garrett drops the hammer. The real law in the 10 towns isn't about petty theft. It's about Oral, the Frost Maiden. We found out that the sacrifices aren't just myths.
This was the chilling moment for me. In the smaller towns, they give up warmth. But in the big towns, East Haven, Targos, Brinchander, it's a lottery. Human sacrifice. They tie someone to a tree and leave them for the cold.
It paints the citizens not as villains, but as desperate people held hostage by the climate. As Garrett said, better the fish than the citizens. But clearly, the fish aren't enough anymore.
Exactly. And just as the mood gets heavy, Garrett tries to lighten it with his sled dog comedy routine. Why did the hunter name his sled dog Frost?
Because Frost bites. Look, the party groaned, but eventually they laughed. And that is exactly where things went wrong. The noise discipline failed.
Cue the gnolls. This combat encounter was incredibly kinetic. It wasn't just a grid battle, it was a high-speed chase on a sled. We had gnolls matching the sled speed on foot, poison arrows flying everywhere.
We got to see Tookie being an absolute action hero here, hook-shotting up the cliff, bayonet slashing, detonating a switch on his blunderbuss to ignite his blade with green flame. The visual of him swinging back onto the moving sled was cinematic.
And don't forget Doug. The magic usage was creative. He cursed the gnoll pack leader with invisible fleas. It's such a specific, petty, but effective bit of crowd control.
We also saw Delnus flexing the divine power, the trident of Persona hitting a gnoll and blasting it with holy water magic. The party is really starting to synergize their abilities.
They are, but they are also looting like chaotic gremlins. Tookie finding a severed finger and just tying it to his necklace? Gross. But more importantly, he found a shard of black metal. Not iron, not obsidian, just black crystal-like metal.
That felt like a plot seed being planted. But the biggest plot point of the travel sequence has to be Gabbage. The druid tried to wild shape into a sled dog to help pull the weight, and it didn't work.
This is deeply concerning for a druid. He lost control and became a direwolf, a creature of pure aggression. Spooked the real dogs and ran off into the tundra. We don't know if that's the corruption of the land or something specific to him, but the party is down a member.
They couldn't chase him either. They had to get to East Haven, and the arrival there, talk about grim. Garrett's warning about the sacrifices came true immediately.
Yeah, seeing the figure tied to the tree, frozen to death with their face covered, it solidified the stakes. Oral's wrath isn't just monsters, it's what she forces these people to do to each other.
And if that wasn't ominous enough, they finally get into town, past the axe beaks, which are awesome mounts, by the way, and see a massive crowd and a plume of gray smoke rising.
It really feels like they are walking out of the frying pan and into the fire, or I guess out of the freezer and into the fire. The execution of Dazan seems imminent. It's a killer cliffhanger.
Next chapter is going to be heavy on the city intrigue, I think. Sandy's crew has arrived, but East Haven looks like a powder keg waiting for a match. Thanks for tuning in to this week's recap of Slay or Be Slayed.